This episode of Pueblo's Podcast is presented by...
Montgomery & Stewart Funeral Directors are proud to be independent, just like you. They're owned and operated by lifetime Puebloans, not by any of the giant funeral home chains. This means they only answer to the families they serve, not to outside stockholders. Your independence allows you to select which funeral home you will call at the time of need, or when considering a pre-need plan. That same independence allows you to choose a local funeral home where you know your wishes will be followed to the letter. Since 1922, they've worked hard to make a positive difference in the Pueblo community by providing service and care for families of all faiths and ethnic origins. Please call them today. They never use high-pressure sales tactics and will be happy to answer your questions and discuss your options at your convenience at their funeral home or in the privacy of your home. Call Montgomery & Stewart Funeral Directors today. 719-542-1552. Montgomery & Stewart Funeral Directors in downtown Pueblo. I'm Dave Moore, and this is Pueblo's Podcast. My guest today is Colorado State Fair Manager Scott Stoller. Hi, Scott.
Hello, how are you?
Good. You know, we've been doing this the last several years, getting updates on the Colorado State Fair, and we've got the 2023 State Fair just around the corner.
Yeah, it's. I think I told you when I walked in here, everything gets closer. Birthdays, State Fair.
Right.
So, yes, it is.
It really does. So, last year, you celebrated the 150th State Fair, and this is 151.
Yes, we, you know, the State Fair, I think everybody who's from Pueblo has always known the State Fair. And I think the generations before you had the same State Fair is just
right.
It is Pueblo; they're synonymous.
Right. Yes. And so, Colorado State Fair. Are there some special things going on for the 151 tie-in at all?
You know, I like to say that we're starting the second 150th. You know, because you know the 150 had to start with one, so
right.
This is the one for the next 150.
Okay.
So special. You know, we like to think that we put our best foot forward every year for the State Fair. There's a lot of cool new improvements from last year's fair that some can argue make this fair better than last year's fair.
Okay.
Some will argue, you know, other ways, but I disagree with them.
Right. The Colorado State, as a friend of mine used to say, our State Fair is a great State Fair.
I think a lot of people say that.
Right.
I think it's actually from a Roger and Hammerstein.
I think you're right.
That might be a song.
From the movie State Fair, maybe.
You want to say
I don't think I should sing, probably.
I don't even know what fair that is in reference to. There's debate as to which fair that is.
Right. Well, so the Colorado State Fair, of course, the big news is all of the improvements that have been made over the last year or so.
Yeah. So, you know, COVID was definitely a kick in the pants or whatever for everybody.
Right.
But there was some good things out of COVID. And one of them is there has been a large amount of financial support for the State Fair and other public office venues around Colorado and the country. And we did benefit by having a master plan in place at the right time. And last year, you would have seen the really nice improvement on Prairie Avenue, a much larger entrance to really ease the speed of entrance and comfort of entrance into the fair for the bulk of the folks that come to the fair. And then this year, we were able to work beyond the tip of the iceberg, as I like to say. And now from that new improvement all the way, which is probably, I would say, a couple hundred yards, maybe even a quarter mile away from that improvement, all brand new space, all the way from there to the Ag Palace. Beautiful, beautiful landscaping, and just a whole new space and a whole new impression as you walk in that front gates of the State Fair.
And I noticed that from Prairie Avenue, you've got the beautiful white canopy, which is part of that improvement.
Yeah, and that was last year's improvement with the gate. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about that people didn't know and we didn't talk about last year because it didn't get done, is that white canopy is designed basically to be a movie canvas for LED lights.
Oh.
We have just finished installing $200,000, actually it's more than $200,000 worth of LED lighting.
Wow.
With a timer and a computer that drive the different changes. So it's not just going to be a white canopy at nighttime at the fair. It's going to be its own show.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun. That is awesome. And the landscaping and everything, rather than just the parking lot, asphalt parking lot all the way to the back of the Egg Palace, that's all different.
Yeah, we've decided instead of just gray concrete and black asphalt, we've embraced some grass and some trees and even some colored concrete. So, but there's really a flow to it. As you walk in, there's also an area that's got brick pavers down, which is going to be a focal point as you enter the fair. And this year we'll have the giant sand sculpture there as you enter the fairgrounds in that new space.
So, oh, that'll be in the new area.
Yeah, there. A lot of new spaces. You'll get to, and we get to play this year. You know, it's our first time programming the fair in this new space. So what we do this year may look different 5 years from now, because we're learning. Right. We have some cool things this year, but you know, as the fair grows, everything evolves.
That's always a fun attraction too, is the sand sculpture, and it takes them several days to begin that. When do they bring the sand in, and when will they start?
July 24th.
Wow!
So it is quite the production. The tent goes in on the 24th, and then the sand will start getting delivered. And I think it's 150 tons. Which we like to talk about last year. We should have added a ton this year, so it could be at 151.
But, oh, yeah, there you go.
But that's 300,000 pounds of sand.
That's a lot of sand. Yeah. That's a bigger sandbox than I ever played in.
Yes. I mean, unless you went to the beach, I suppose.
Right. That's true.
There might be more there. I don't know.
Right. And so vendors are on the increase as well for this year's fair.
Yeah. So during COVID, there was some obvious issues coming out of COVID. The labor shortage was a big deal. Supply chain shortage. So all the vendors that you're used to seeing at the fair, they're very reliant on stuff coming, deliveries coming. So supply chain really held them back, and they couldn't find staff. So we had most of our vendors there, but instead of them having a 20-foot frontage, they may have had a 10, or instead of them having 5 booths, they had 3. Okay. Just because they had to manage within their means.
Sure.
But this year, last year was pretty good. This year, the outside is sold out, so can't do much better than that.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so it's looking to be a really good year for vendors.
And I suspect new vendors, too, that maybe have not been here in a while or ever.
Yeah, we have a really cool, in our new area, we have a food stand, which this stands out to me because it's 2 stands tall. They make pizza in the top stand. You can watch them up there, and then there's an elevator that lowers the pizza to the stand below, and then they
really?
Yeah, they do corn dogs and cotton candy, but they make pizza. They have a whole stand on top of the stand just to make pizza, like a dough prep room.
Where is that going to be located?
It's right next to the Ag Palace in the brand new plaza area.
Nice. That should be
and
fun.
Our theme is mountains of fun, so we needed a mountain high food stand.
Mountains of fun. I like that. And probably the sand sculpture may reflect the mountains of fun.
You know, when looking around and thinking of direction to give them, for some reason Pike's Peak just sticks out. There's so much you can do there with the wildlife, the
right.
Cogway, the road, the race, the top.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Awesome.
It's not just going to be a pile of sand and
right.
The mountain done. Oh. I could do that one.
Right. Or just a little bucket full of sand. Right?
Here's my mountain.
Right. All right. And of course, a lot of people are excited about the concerts. You have a great concert lineup for this year's State Fair. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So we've been expanding our lineup the last few years. We've had great response, and I think it's tied to like a national trend. Concerts are doing really well. So mm-hmm. we've been putting more fuel on the fire, and people probably have noticed we've kind of upped our concert game a little bit by spending more money. With the rodeo, the PRCA rodeo, the first 4 nights of the fair, the first 3 nights of rodeo, we'll have a concert afterwards with Ian Munsick the first night. Sawyer Brown will be a Sunday, which that's our matinee show. We started 2 years ago. It was the first time in a while we've done a Sunday concert. And then on Saturday, our big concert is Chase Rice.
Okay.
And then on the Ranch Rodeo, which hasn't traditionally had a concert, it's on Wednesday. It's pay one price to get in. So carnival rides and the concert are free with admission and the Ranch Rodeo. And we're bringing in Ned Ledoux to kind of carry on his daddy's tradition of playing that stage, because I'm pretty sure Chris Ledoux, I don't know, I think he was probably a full-time employee for the State Fair at one point.
He was there a lot. He had a line at one of his concerts that I saw. He said, "I've quit rodeo on behind these buck and shoots more than once." And we actually saw him years ago in the Ag Palace, an indoor concert. Chris Ledoux was indoors.
Yeah, no, and he's an institution at the State Fair. So it's really cool to have his son, come and kick off our first time having a ranch rodeo concert. And then moving in, well, I guess also in the grandstand, we have on Fiesta Day, people may not know who this is. They may not listen to Banda music, but we have with the Celebration de los Charros, we have Los Tigres del Norte, which you may not know who they are, but you may be aware of their work. A few years ago when J-Lo did the halftime show for the Super Bowl,
right?
They were her support.
Wow.
So they're pretty big deal.
That is big time right there.
Yeah, and they probably will end up being our biggest concert. They're going to knock it out of the park.
Oh, that's awesome.
Monster Trucks Demo Derby, and then we go all the way down to the Southwest Motors Event Center, and we have a whole nother set of additional music down there. We have Lady A is coming back this year. They had to postpone their show last year, and they'll have Tyler Braden as the opener.
Okay.
On Saturday, we'll have Lil Jon with Chingy as the opener.
Okay.
Which there's a Holiday Inn song out there. You can look. That's Chingy, just if anybody needs to know the Holiday Inn song. And then I skipped over Gabriel Iglesias Fluffy because those tickets are pretty much gone unless you want to go to a concert or go to a show by yourself.
You've got singles available, but that's about it.
I mean, I don't usually tell people to go to the secondary market, but you're probably going to find better, better seats.
A chance to buy tickets from somebody else.
Yeah. And then our, the one last cool concert we have that's kind of a paid concert, Pat Benatar and Neil Girardo. You can't buy those tickets from us. I actually just stopped at Loaf and Jug this morning and got some coffee and decided to take my chance at winning $850 million on either the Mega Millions. Is that the one?
Right, yeah.
But I also got kicked out of voucher for a free concert ticket. So you have to spend $30 or more on certain lottery games and you'll get that voucher to redeem towards your Pat Benatar and Neil Girardo concert.
Nice. And that is what day?
That is the Sunday of Labor Day weekend.
Okay. Wow.
But there's more.
But wait, there's more.
We have
Pat Benatar's not the final.
She's probably going to be one of our biggest. And I will say this: those are while supplies last. We already have over 3,000 of those redeemed. Uh-huh. So once they're all redeemed, those are gone. So that one too will probably disappear before fair.
Okay.
So if you really want to see Pat Benatar and Neil Girardo, I would go. Now's a good time. I mean, with Powerball was just $1 billion. Mega Millions is $850 million. I think it's more than that now. So
Get the tickets and get a concert ticket.
My joke's been you can go spend $30 and you will win $1 billion and or a ticket to Pat Benatar
or
and Neil Girardo.
I like that.
So I mean, somebody may end up with both.
Oh sure, that'd be cool.
That lucky fella.
Someone from Colorado for a change. That would be nice.
I feel like if somebody wins and they go to the concert, they need to sponsor a concert next year.
Oh
that,
yeah,
that should be like written in the fine print somewhere.
Should be. Yeah.
I don't
bring in Taylor Swift next year.
Taylor Swift, Garth Brooks would be a nice redo.
Yeah, that's right.
Also, and then on the AFW Amphitheater stage, we do also have some name entertainment.
Yes.
Firefall is coming back.
We had
them last
so
year
good.
On Labor Day. Free show, two shows on Labor Day. And then we do have Flowbots, which is a kind of a more modern band out of Denver that's seen some success nationally on that stage too.
Okay.
So
wow.
There's more. There's so much more.
And there's a lot of horse show going on. And
yeah, the backbone of the state fair is competition. I mean, that's
right.
The fairs wouldn't be... They'd just be a festival if it wasn't for the 4-H and FFA kids and the livestock and the horses and the quilts and the jam. And horse shows pretty much every day of the fair, livestock shows all the way through the fair, with a big emphasis on that first 5 days with the junior livestock program, because that's where those kids come from across the state to compete for grand champion and go through the livestock sale to make tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah. That's always amazing. And Pueblo, local support, local business people in Pueblo have been always a huge supporter of the livestock sale.
Yeah, and there's if anybody's interested in being a buyer, there is a couple ways. You could join one of the buyer groups. There's several here in Pueblo that are very popular. Or if somebody wants to buy in the name of their business, reach out to our livestock office, and individuals can buy also. So if somebody's wanting to be a part of the livestock sale, just either there's a cadre. I don't want to list all the buyers group, but they're really fun. It is. If you've never been to the livestock sale, it's an event in itself.
Oh, it really is. And you've got special events. You have the legislative barbecue is one of the special events this year, as usual.
Yep. So the chamber is the one who coordinates that as well with the state fair parade. And those tickets, you can get those online now, which is a little easier. You used to have to go chase those down at various locations. And I believe they're on our website, but for sure they'll be on the chamber's website. Great opportunity, you know, about 400 to 800 people, depending on the year, in the PB&T Bank Pavilion. And it has to be one of the biggest business networking events in Pueblo or Southern Colorado, because it is a who's who.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And also the slopper eating contest is returning.
Yes, we had to count with fingers. I believe this is our fifth annual slopper eating championship.
Wow.
And I'm going to say four-time defending champion is coming back to defend his world record of 38 and a half sloppers in 8 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And quite the lineup from what we've seen so far.
That's almost five per minute.
Yeah, it's over 8 pounds of beef plus all the other fixings that Yeah, I don't know.
The half bun and the green chili.
He's a beast.
And so a slopper eating contest. At one point, you had Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, Joey Chestnut was there the year that the world record was set, and he got second. I think he ate like 35. Only 35. Yeah.
Holy cow. I don't know. Any Pueblo folks?
Well, we do have a celebrity contest prior to that, and we usually have a few Pueblo folks in that. And that one's a little tamer. It's one quarter pound patty, a slopper, made into a slopper. And it's a race to see who can finish it first.
Okay.
So I tell the celebrities, if you don't want to go for it, somebody will take it serious. Just enjoy your slopper, and 20 seconds, it will be over.
Right.
And there usually are some locals that Major League Eating, through application, bring in. And there is, if you go to Major League Eating's website, there's an application process. And they're always looking for a good story of somebody.
Oh, sure.
The term I heard is every now and again, a table ender will make it into the top four. And a table ender, they put the main eaters in the middle of all the tables, and that's at the end of the tables is the people that have no chance. And
right, and all of a sudden,
as occasionally a table ender will be like, "Oh, hey, that guy ate more than four sloppers."
Oh, that's great. All right, so we've got those. Any other special events?
We got the Governor's Plate coming back this year, which is a really cool. It's like a food truck competition, and there's six food trucks from around the state, and they each have one item that is sourced from Colorado ingredients. And kind of themed towards the fair. And it's a good value. It's $20. You get into the fair that day, and you get to have six bits of food. And they do feed you well. And then after you're done, you get to drop your card in and vote for the People's Choice winner.
Oh, very cool.
And then the governor will also be there, and he picks his winner. So we have two winners that day. And it's a nice event. And it's about 400 or 500 people show up to that. And it's turned into another one of those good opportunities to rub elbows with folks from throughout the state.
Oh, sure. Oh, that's terrific. And then, of course, the carnival. We can't forget the rides. That's always going to be big.
Yeah, people probably don't realize this. The State Fair is the largest carnival in Colorado and all the way up and down pretty much in the United States in the Mountain Time Zone. There is no bigger carnival setup than here in Pueblo. It's there's over 50 rides. It's definitely, if you're going to take your kids to a carnival and get a wristband, you're going to get your best value
at
the State Fair.
Right. And it's less expensive than some of the other carnival-ish type things north of here.
Oh, probably less than putting gas in your tank.
Right.
If you want to go to Denver, I'm guessing you're probably by the time you – there's something to be said for not having to fuel up your car and all that. Time is worth money and fuel is worth money. So
absolutely. Oh, very good. Anything else that we haven't touched on that you'd like to talk about for this year's Colorado State Fair?
There's so much. One of the fine arts show last year made international news, so kind of see how that plays out.
With the AI situation.
Yeah, we had the winner after the contest was posted, shared with the world via Twitter that it was made via AI. And it wasn't a lot of people in Pueblo. It was a percentage of people in Pueblo.
Right.
But it was a percentage of people worldwide. So, the response, and there was billions of impressions on this, but it wasn't all, it was a similar size story in Pueblo as it was in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Just because of the AI debate, there's people that are really in that space.
Sure.
And we got covered by New York Times, Washington Post, Smithsonian, huge Asia coverage. So it was a huge, huge story. We've made some changes this year. We still allow AI. And I guess I should back up. People that thought that it wasn't fair, we did share with them during the fair last year that there is a protest process, and if somebody found a violation of our show requirements, they could protest this person winning.
Okay.
And not one person stepped forward. Nothing, at least based on that filter, there didn't seem to be any red flags of violating the rules last year. So if anybody thinks that he cheated based on the rules of the field, there was no cheating that happened.
Gotcha.
Okay. This year we've modified our requirements, and we're now requiring anything in digital art, and this was digital art only. This wasn't competing with somebody that takes photography or hand paints. It was digital created. They have to declare what platform they use. So if they use Canva or if they use Photoshop, they have to say that. And they also have to say whether or not it was aided by AI or not. And then when the judge judges the piece, they'll see the piece and they'll see those two bits of information. And our expert judges, who they are independent, they'll make the call based on their expertise.
Will there be a separate AI category, or
not this year? This is the first year that we're I guess, acknowledging AI as as part of our show. You know, it had happened. And I don't know that last year was the first year we had AI assisted. Most folks that do digital art are aware that AI is built into so many different things. If you have Photoshop, there's an AI element in there. Canva has AI in it. So it's not, it's kind of hard to ignore because it's everywhere now. And and last year wasn't the first year it existed. It's just last year was the first year that it, just because of the way the story got out there, it blew up. So as we do this year's show, if we get a lot of entries and they're, you know, a lot more than usual, because normally we'd have like 20 or 30 digital art entries. If we get like 200 entries, to us, that might justify creating a new category.
Okay.
But if we have like five entries, no. Probably not. That's okay. And I'll say this, every year we look at our shows. If we have a category that is really popular, and I'll just pick on one like wagon wheel creation. Like if that gets down to no entries, we'll move on, because maybe wagon wheel creation is no longer a passion of people and no longer a competition. So, you know, we always look at things. If things are growing, we might create new categories. If things are shrinking, we might eliminate categories. So it's kind of up to the people, really.
Right. And the art is amazing. If you've not taken time to walk through the art exhibit, it's just unbelievable the talent that is shown there.
Yeah, and our fine art show is much more than just the digital category where AI was. There's many different mediums that people use, and it is top notch. We have people visit our fair from all over the country, and I hear this all the time, that our fine art show is on a pedestal above or at the top of any out there, which is great to hear.
And
I think it reflects Colorado, and Southern Colorado especially. You know, art's really important to this part of the state.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Colorado State Fair 2023. It's 151. It's 2.0, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
It's one. We're just going to pretend like this is the first fair ever. We did the first 150, now we're starting over.
Right. I like that. And it goes August 25th through Labor Day.
Correct. And I guess the last thing I'd want to talk about, if I have time, is deals and discounts.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, with inflation, there's folks, some people don't care. They're like, I'll pay the $2. Doesn't matter. Other people are being very value conscious. We have a lot of value days. And I'd start by saying, if you're going to go to a concert, make sure you buy your ticket before the fair starts, because once the fair starts, your concert ticket no longer includes a fair admission pass.
Okay.
So if you buy a Lady A ticket on Thursday before fair, you can walk right in, no problem, into the concert. If you buy it on the Friday that fair opens, you're going to get stopped at the gate. Even though you have that Lady A ticket, they're going to tell you need to buy a pass to get into the fair.
Okay.
So there's one way right there to
very important.
Save some money, buy your concert tickets before Friday of opening day.
Sure.
You don't have to. We're fine if you want to spend more. But and we know some people have plans that, you know, change, and they're in town and they didn't know that.
Sure.
And then we have senior days and kids days. Senior days are on Fridays this year because we open at 11. We want to have a longer day, a quieter part of the day for seniors to come out. Also on Fridays is 5 till 5, another value conscious. It's $5 to get into the fair until 5 p.m. We don't kick you out at 5. You just have to get there before 5.
Sure, I got you.
And then also until 5, all of our food stands will have a feature menu item that's $5 on their menu, which 5 years ago, $5 didn't seem like a lot, but
right.
A number two at Carl's Jr. I think is $12 today. So
yeah,
I always joke. I don't know if you remember the $6 burger.
Oh yes,
and that was such a joke because they're like the $6 burger, and they were only charging $3.99. They were making fun of a $6 hamburger that they had to change the name because that burger is now $9.
Right, I know. I get that. I saw that the other day.
So I don't even know what they call it now, but it's
right.
They dropped the $6 burger name. Kids' days are on Monday. Back to school day, which is always popular, is Thursday through your school. You get a free admission and a deeply discount carnival wristband. Wednesday affair is pay one price. It's $15 to get in, but that includes unlimited carnival rides, the Ranch Rodeo, the Ned Ledoux concert. And then a new promotion this year is on Tuesday, we partnered with Care and Share. And if you bring two cans of food to the fair, you get into the fair for free. We're calling it Two Can Tuesday.
I like that. Two Can Tuesday.
Yep. And that's all day Tuesday. We open at 3 Monday through Thursday of midweek. And so from 3 until close, it's two cans to get into the fair. You can bring more if you want to Care and Share a little more.
Nice.
But Two Cans Tuesday is the is the promotion that day.
So Monday through Thursday, the fair opens at 3.
Correct.
And then
11 o'clock the rest of the days.
Okay.
11 a.m., I guess.
Right.
Don't show up at 11 p.m.
Right.
We won't let you in at that time just for – you can hang out, but we won't let you in.
Sure. And then fair closing –
We usually stay open until 11 or later. It depends on, you know, the night. On a Friday night, it's going to be later. You know, on a Tuesday night, it's going to be a little earlier just because the crowd thins out and
sure,
not much going
time
on.
To go.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, it's Mountains of Fun at the 2023 Colorado State Fair, and it kicks off August 25th. And if you need more information, just go to coloradostatefair.com and you can find tickets there. You can find the whole schedule. Everything you need to know.
Yeah. And you can also look at all of our competitions and for next year, because we always want people to enter and compete at the fair. We love to get more and more people involved in that. So if you haven't entered, walk through the buildings, look at the categories, and next year might be your year to get a blue ribbon.
Awesome. Yeah. Don't think that, I went to the fair 5 years ago. It's the same old fair. It's absolutely completely different, especially this year with the new improvements.
Yeah, no, there's a lot that's changed, and it's more than just the new improvements. We have different programming every year. And the fair is 151 years old. There's a lot of tradition
that
people come to expect at the fair.
Right, the livestock.
That's baked in. Like,
yeah.
You can't take away 4-H. Tradition. People go there for the nostalgia and the tradition. But we also mix in new every year, and I've been here. This will be my sixth fair, and I can tell you 5 years ago looks nothing like this year.
Wow. That's amazing. That's very cool. And you got to walk through and see the bunnies.
Yes, the bunnies. There's the animals. You can't. That's
just part of the fair.
The moment of Zen or whatever. You walk through the barns and see all the pretty animals.
Yeah, that's very cool. So much fun. All right, so I'm going to ask you a couple of quick questions here, Scott. Favorite fair food?
So I'm boring. I like the soft serve cone that's like as tall as my face.
Okay.
You go
for that.
It feels so good after. And maybe it's because I'm working at the fair and it's just so refreshing.
It's ice cold and perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we won't have 100 degree temperatures. Maybe.
I think it's working its way through its system right now. Who knows?
Yeah, I think so. All right. How about this? Do you remember your first concert that you ever went to as a kid?
I do. And it's going to probably surprise people. I was a camp counselor. I was a junior camp counselor, I think in Connecticut. And I got invited to go to a Metallica concert.
Really?
So Metallica was my first.
Oh my gosh.
I take that back. When I was a kid, my dad would take me to Reno and I saw Sha Na Na, but it was lost on me.
Sure. Who are those guys?
I think they sing the song Sha Na Na, don't they?
I think so. Metallica. That's something to remember. And how about your all-time favorite concert?
Well, from the event promoter side of things, my favorite story, well, there's two, I guess, but Lady A right now is my favorite because in 2009, I had them my last year when I was in Corvallis, Oregon.
Okay.
And now here we are, how many years later? And they were, I spent about 10% of what I'm spending this year on Lady A. So it was like the first lightning in the bottle moment with a concert because their song I Run to You went number one the week before the fair.
Oh.
And just to watch the excitement and how many people turned out and we had to hold the show because we couldn't get them in off the street to park their cars. It was really fun to be a part of. And now it's really cool. This many years later, from 2009 to have them for 10 times the money. But they're worth it now. You know, they've gone from being.
They've had a couple of hits.
They've done okay since 2009.
Right. It's kind of like the Garth Brooks Free shows back in the day, back in, 88, 89, 90, something like that. And then the next year, he was at the grandstand.
Yeah, and I've had a few lightning. I call them lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I think last year, Walker Hayes was definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know where his future will be, but he definitely was. His moment was last year during the fair.
Oh, yeah. Fancy him. Like had just come out, right?
Yeah, and then a couple years, John Party, two years ago, that was a really big. You know,
yeah.
If we had a bigger venue, I know we could have sold more tickets. Dustin Lynch, when I was in Chico, California, I don't know if he's quite at that level, but at the venue I had him in, he just hit the right note and really turned out for him.
Perfect.
So those are my favorite ones just because my favorite part of a concert
you kind
is
of part of it.
A large turnout makes a concert good for me. So that's
great. That's terrific. I've been talking with Scott Stoller, manager of the Colorado State Fair. Looking forward to the 2023 Colorado State Fair Mountains of Fun.
Yes.
It's going to be great. Thanks. Thanks a lot for coming in, Scott.
Thank you for having me. I think this was our
third or fourth year. We even did one on the phone during COVID, I think.
Yeah. So, I do remember. Yeah. As well.
Yeah. Goes back. I'm glad we're not in that situation now.
We're getting closer to our fifth one, I guess.
That's right.
Because the fair's closed.
Exactly. All right. Sounds good. Thanks again, Scott. That's Pueblo's Podcast. I'm Dave Moore. Be proud, Pueblo.